Hi there. Welcome to episode 480 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. This is the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible, and we have a new episode for you every Monday through Friday. We're reading through the Bible on two tracks. Track one is the Old Testament, track two is the New Testament. Every day we alternate the tracks, and the shows are usually between 10 and 15 minutes long. Today we're going to read Acts 21 and 22 from the Good News Translation. Let's get started. Acts chapter 21. We said goodbye to them and left. After sailing straight across, we came to Kos. The next day we reached Rhodes, and from there we went to Patara. There we found a ship that was going to Phoenicia, so we went aboard and sailed away. We came to where we could see Cyprus, and then sailed south of it on to Syria. We went ashore at Tyre, where the ship was going to unload its cargo. There we found some believers and stayed with them a week. By the power of the Spirit, they told Paul not to go to Jerusalem, but when our time with them was over, we left and went on our way. All of them, together with their wives and children, went with us out of the city to the beach, where we all knelt and prayed. Then we said goodbye to one another and went on board the ship while they went back home. We continued our voyage, sailing from Tyre to Ptolemais, where we greeted the believers and stayed with them for a day. On the following day, we left and arrived in Caesarea. There we stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen as helpers in Jerusalem. He had four unmarried daughters who proclaimed God's message. We had been there for several days when a prophet named Agabus arrived from Judea. He came out to us, took Paul's belt, tied up his own feet and hands with it, and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. The owner of this belt will be tied up in this way by the Jews in Jerusalem, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the others there begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he answered, "What are you doing, crying like this and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be tied up in Jerusalem, but even to die there for the sake of the Lord Jesus." We could not convince him, so we gave up and said, "May the Lord's will be done." After spending some time there, we got our things ready and left for Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea also went with us and took us to the house of the man we were going to stay with, Mnason from Cyrus, who had been a believer since the early days. When we arrived in Jerusalem, the believers welcomed us warmly. The next day, Paul went with us to see James, and all the church elders were present. Paul greeted them and gave a complete report of everything that God had done among the Gentiles through his work. After hearing him, they all praised God. Then they said, "Brother Paul, you can see how many thousands of Jews have become believers, and how devoted they all are to the law. They have been told that you have been teaching all the Jews who live in Gentile countries to abandon the law of Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or follow the Jewish customs. They are sure to hear that you have arrived. What should be done then? This is what we want you to do. There are four men here who have taken a vow. Go along with them and join them in the ceremony of purification and pay their expenses. Then they'll be able to shave their heads. In this way, everyone will know that there is no truth in any of the things that they have been told about you, but that you yourself live in accordance with the law of Moses. But as for the Gentiles who have become believers, we have sent them a letter telling them we decided that they must not eat any food that has been offered to idols, or any blood, or any animal that has been strangled, and that they must keep themselves from sexual immorality." So Paul took the men, and the next day performed the ceremony of purification with them. Then he went into the temple and gave notice of how many days it would be until the end of the period of purification, when a sacrifice would be offered for each one of them. But just when the 7 days were about to come to an end, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul in the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and grabbed Paul. "People of Israel," they shouted, "help! This is the man who goes everywhere teaching everyone against the people of Israel, the law of Moses, and this temple. And now he has even brought some Gentiles into the temple and defiled this holy place." They said this because they had seen Trophimus from Ephesus with Paul in the city, and they thought that Paul had taken him into the temple. Confusion spread through the whole city, and the people all ran together, grabbed Paul, and dragged him out of the temple. At once the temple doors were closed. The mob was trying to kill Paul when a report was sent up to the commander of the Roman troops that all of Jerusalem was rioting. At once, the commander took some officers and soldiers and rushed down to the crowd. When the people saw him with the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander went over to Paul, arrested him, and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked, "Who is this man and what has he done?" Some in the crowd shouted one thing, others something else. There was such confusion that the commander could not find out exactly what had happened, so he ordered his men to take Paul up into the fort. They got as far as the steps with him, and then the soldiers had to carry him because the mob was so wild. They were all coming after him and screaming, "Kill him!" As the soldiers were about to take Paul into the fort, he spoke to the commander. "May I say something to you?" "You speak Greek, do you?" the commander asked. "Then you are not that Egyptian fellow who some time ago started a revolution and led 4,000 armed terrorists out into the desert?" Paul answered, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of an important city. Please, let me speak to the people." The commander gave him permission, so Paul stood on the steps and motioned with his hand for the people to be silent. When they were quiet, Paul spoke to them in Hebrew. Acts chapter 22. "My fellow Jews, listen to me as I make my defense before you." When they heard him speaking to them in Hebrew, they became even quieter, and Paul went on. "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up here in Jerusalem as a student of Gamaliel. I received strict instruction in the law of our ancestors, and was just as dedicated to God as all of you are who are here today. I persecuted to the death the people who followed this way. I arrested men and women and threw them into prison. The high priest and the whole council can prove that I am telling the truth. I received from them letters written to fellow Jews in Damascus, so I went there to arrest these people and bring them back in chains to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was traveling and coming near Damascus, about midday, a bright light from the sky flashed suddenly around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute,' he said to me. The men with me saw the light, but did not hear the voice of the one who was speaking to me. I asked, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told everything that God has determined for you to do.' I was blind because of the bright light, and so my companions took me by the hand and led me into Damascus. In that city was a man named Ananias, a religious man who obeyed our law and was highly respected by all the Jews living there. He came to me, stood by me, and said, 'Brother Saul, see again.' At that very moment I saw again and looked at him. He said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see his righteous servant, and to hear him speaking with his own voice. For you will be a witness for him to tell everyone what you have seen and heard. And now, why wait any longer? Get up and be baptized, and have your sins washed away by praying to him.' I went back to Jerusalem, and while I was praying in the temple, I had a vision in which I saw the Lord, and he said to me, 'Hurry and leave Jerusalem quickly, because the people here will not accept your witness about me.' 'Lord,' I answered, 'they know very well that I went to the synagogues and arrested and beat those who believe in you. And when your witness Stephen was put to death, I myself was there, approving of his murder and taking care of the cloaks of his murderers.' 'Go,' the Lord said to me, 'for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.'" The people listened to Paul until he said this, but then they started shouting at the top of their voices, "Away with him! Kill him! He's not fit to live!" They were screaming, waving their clothes, and throwing dust up in the air. The Roman commander ordered his men to take Paul into the fort, and he told them to whip him in order to find out why the Jews were screaming like this against him. But when they had tied him up to be whipped, Paul said to the officer standing there, "Is it lawful for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been tried for any crime?" When the officer heard this, he went to the commander and asked him, "What are you doing? That man is a Roman citizen." So the commander went to Paul and asked him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes," answered Paul. The commander said, "I became one by paying a large sum of money." "But I am one by birth," Paul said. At once the men who were going to question Paul drew back from him, and the commander was frightened when he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had put him in chains. The commander wanted to find out for sure what the Jews were accusing Paul of, so the next day he had Paul's chains taken off and ordered the chief priests and the whole council to meet. Then they took Paul and made him stand before them. May God bless the reading of His Word. Did you ever notice how we try to tell God how things ought to go? Oh, we usually do it in very spiritual and respectful ways, but we do that. Here's an example. Oh God, in Jesus' name we ask that you heal Aunt Bertha. Or, oh God, please give me that job I interviewed for. I know I'm just the perfect person for that position. You get the idea. In chapter 21 today, we read that the prophet Agabus told Paul that he would be mistreated by the Jews in Jerusalem. So the people that were with Paul begged him not to go to Jerusalem. Paul said, "What are you doing crying like this and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be tied up in Jerusalem, but even to die there for the sake of the Lord Jesus." So our text says in verse 14, "We could not convince him, so we gave up and said, 'May the Lord's will be done.'" My friend, asking for the Lord's will to be done should be our starting point, not the final resort. We should say, "Oh God, have your way with Aunt Bertha. We know you love her infinitely more than we do, and we just want her to be completely in your hands. If it's your will to heal her body, we will praise you and give you glory. But if healing is not your will for her, help us to accept your will and help us to praise you and give you the glory anyway." You do know that God chooses sometimes not to heal everyone, right? Paul even asked for healing one time, but he was not healed. God cannot, and He will not, be put into a box. It's best for us if we don't try to do that, and instead lift up our petitions to Him and then stand back to see what He'll do for us and for His glory. His ideas are always better than ours, and sometimes, I'll admit, it does take a very long time to understand why He answers our prayers the way He does. Sometimes we have to say goodbye to someone we love. But the key is learning to trust Him implicitly, with no reservations. I've discovered in my life that He is worthy of my trust, and He is always faithful. Your thoughts? Hey, thank you so much for being with me today. Tomorrow we'll be back in the book of Isaiah. My thanks to my friendly editor and some of the other folks who have so generously contributed to the Value for Value model of support. If the show means anything to you, if you're getting benefit out of the show, I'd ask that you would consider going over to support.lifespringmedia.com and seeing if you'd like to get involved as well. Thanks a lot for doing that. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.